We're on Daf Tzadiches Amid Beis, and we started the second Mishnah, which is on the bottom of the Amud. Let's just quickly review the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about someone who's standing in Rishus HaYachid, and he's carrying an object in Rishus HaRabin. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that we're not afraid that he might inadvertently take the object into where he's standing, into Rishus HaYachid. So let's say he's in a house, or he's on a roof, wherever he is, and he bends down, and he takes an object in Rishus HaRabim, and he moves it from place to place. We're not going to be afraid that he might take the object into Rishus HaYachid. And the flip side, let's say a person is standing in Rishus HaRabim, and he leans over into Rishus HaYachid, and he's metaltel, he carries something in Rishus HaYachid. We're not going to be afraid, maybe he'll take the object out into Rishus HaRabim. But again, in all these cases, we have to make sure that, let's say, for example, going back to the Reish, he's standing in Rishus HaYachid, he's being metaltel something in Rishus HaRabim. If he carries it for Amos, then he violates Melechas Havara. So as long as he's not carrying it for Amos, you might think, well, maybe he'll take the object into the Rishus HaYachid and violate Melechas HaKachnosa, Kamash Malan, it's Mutter. That's the Reish of the Mishnah. And the Sefer of the Mishnah is that if a person is standing in one Rishus, he's not allowed to urinate into another Rishus, because apparently that's called Akira Mimokam HaNocha. Right? When he urinates, the urine is going from its place of HaNocha, we'll call it in the bladder, and it's going out into another Rishus, and that is a Melacha of Hotzah Mirshus Rishus. Similarly, you're not allowed to spit from one Rishus to another. And Rabbi Yehuda adds that if there's an accumulation of saliva in his mouth, then if he carries that saliva in his mouth for four amos in Rishus HaRabim, he's chayav. And you and I would have said, wait a minute, we have halacha in Hotzah that which you carry in your mouth, you're not chayav for. That's not considered kiderech masa. But the answer is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you have this accumulation of saliva in your mouth, that's considered derech masa. Now, before we start the sugya sagemara, I wanted to call your attention to a Rashbam in Masechta Bava Basra. The Mishnah tells us that when you carry something from one Rishus to another in your mouth, then you are potter. Now what happens? You have a kli, and inside the kli, you're carrying something from one place to the other. That's considered shalo kedarka, kalachar yad. That's not the derech in which you normally would carry a kli. However, in our Mishnah, because he has rok that are usually inside his mouth, so that by carrying that rok in his mouth, that's not considered kelachar yad, and therefore he's chayv. And the Rishonim quote a Gemara in Krisus, and the Gemara in Krisus says, as far as Ochlin is concerned, Mahoya Shabbos v'hotzio bepiv chayv. That if he's got food in his mouth and he carries that food into another Rishus, he's chayv, because that's the way you carry food through your mouth. But if you have food in a kli, that's considered kelach hayah. Now, the Rashbam says the following. If you read our Mishnah carefully, it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Normally, if a Tana is quoted at the end of a Mishnah and he's just embellishing or expanding what appears at the beginning of the Mishnah, then we find that it would say Omar and then the name of the Tana. But when it says the name of the Tana first and then Omar, like in our case it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, says the Rashbam, that's indicative of a dissenting view, such that Rabbi Yehuda's arguing against the Tana Kama, or if you want to say the reverse, the Tana Kama will argue with Rabbi Yehuda. And that's very strange, because we're talking about Rokha Nimtza Bepeh, and we've already established, and it's pretty explicit in the Gemara in Krisus, that Rokha Nimtza Bepeh, or Ochlin HaNimtza Bepeh, that's considered Derech Masa. That's not considered Shalo Kedarka. It's not like the case where he's holding on to a Kli in his mouth. So that the Rashbam says that the Tana Kama here, because again it says Omar, it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Kama holds that Rokha Nimtza Bepeh Afshid Nitlash Eino Choshuv Masa. Now when we say, again Rabbi Yehuda says Mishid Nitlash, which means it's already gathered together in his mouth, then it's considered masa. It's considered, I'm sorry, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's considered masa. We're now focusing on the Tana Kama. Eino nechshav masa. So you can carry something in your hands. You can carry something on your head. Or for that matter, on any other part of your body. And perhaps, again, this we have to see a Mishnah in the first paragraph, but it could be even something that's attached to your clothing. That's also considered derech masa, but not something that's in your mouth. Not the way Rabbi Yehuda interprets it, that if it's in your mouth, you're holding it in a kli, and nobody would normally carry a kli in their mouth. No. Anything that's being carried in the kli, says the Tana Kama, and anything that's being carried in your mouth, even if it's saliva that's gathered in your mouth, is not subject to masa. I am not carrying something or transporting something by having it in my mouth. And truth be told, Rabbi Yehuda intuitively makes a lot more sense. In other words, if not for this Rashbam, and the Rashbam is making a machlokes, you know, yesh me'ayin, in a case where we don't have a machlokas, but he's very much medayik, this is his methodological principle, that whenever it starts with the name and then the statement, it's against the previous Tana, then the previous Tana holds that this is never considered masa. Again, he's not holding it in a kli in his mouth, he's just got an accumulation of saliva, that's not considered masa, it's not derech masa. So that if we assume, like the Rashbam, that the Tana Kama is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, then it means that the Tana Kama holds there's no such thing as derech masa, even in the case of saliva or foodstuff that's in your mouth. And now, the Rambam would also seem to be on board, because the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayos here in our Mishnah, says the Rambam, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing against the Tana Kama. Vice versa, we see from the Rambam that Rabbi Yehuda is against the Tana Kama, and not only that, we're going to pass like the Tana Kama against Rabbi Yehuda. So it seemed that the Rambam, this is also in the Bar Tanura, they hold that there is a bona fide machlokas here between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda, and according to the Tana Kama, this is not derech masa. So we have now the Rambam and the Bar Tanura both paskening like the Rabbanan, the Tana Kama, against Rabbi Yehuda, and that's a tremendous kula, because you're not going to be chayav if you carry something in your mouth, even though it normally finds itself in your mouth. However, the Tur paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we have a whole series of Rishonim, all of whom unanimously agree that Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama have a machlokes. The only issue is, who do we paskin like? And the Torah claims that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra. Now comes along the Beis Yosef with a whole new understanding of the Torah. He says that the Torah understood that Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah is simply interpreting the Tanakhama. He's not arguing with the Tanakhama, he's just clarifying. So Memelon is no machlokas here according to the Torah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Beis Yosef. Hence, the Torah paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, which means he's paskining like a Stam Mishnah, he's paskining like the Chachamim. He's not paskining against the Tanakhama. There is no Tanakhama, meaning Rabbi Yehuda is the only Tanya, and he's the one who's interpreting the Tanakhama. So this is really an issue that divides, you know, the centuries, the giants of the centuries are divided in this issue. And it remains unclear to us whether or not Rabbi Yehuda is interpreting the Tanakhama or disagreeing with the Tanakhama in the case of Yorok Shenitlash. Okay, now we have, just to summarize, a Reisha and a Seifa. The Reisha says that we're not worried that if you're standing in one Rishus carrying something in another Rishus, less than Dalet Amos, you're going to be tempted to take the object all the way into your Rishus and violate a Melacha D'oraisa. And we have the Sefer of the Mishnah that tells us that urinating and spitting are considered Hotzah. Rok seems to be considered a Meleches Hotzah, even if you're carrying it in your mouth and you're not spitting it forward, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe even according to the Chachamim, if we assume the Pashas and Rashi, but certainly in Beis Yosef's interpretation of the Tur, that Rabbi Yehuda is nothing more than an embellishment of the Tanakhama, and he's teaching us that there is Derech Masa when the saliva accumulates in one's mouth. You know, I never thought that spitting is very aesthetically pleasant. You know, it sort of echoes you when you see people spit. I don't know, maybe I'm very sensitive to that. But here's a case where, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha would sort of advocate that you spit, because if you're going to continue walking, you may end up carrying and violating otzah because of the saliva in your mouth. Again, it's only a case of nitlash, but still, you know, very often, you know, it's nitlash. You know, you've got saliva accumulating in your mouth. You better spit it out as soon as you can, because if you start walking with it, and nachat see the tour holds, and that's not, that's no slouch, that everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. And basically, if you take a look at the Gemara Krisus, it would seem that the Gemara explicitly supports Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara in Krisus only excludes a case where you have a kli in your mouth. But if you have food in your mouth, that's considered Meleches Hotzah, and that's Derech Masa. So there's a pretty serious push here to be very careful about saliva in one's mouth on Shabbos. Again, we're not so sensitive to this because, you know, we don't have an Eruv. My father-in-law, may he rest in peace, used to always ask me, am I wearing my watch before I left the house on Shabbos? And it took me a long time to get used to it. He held that men don't wear watches, and it's Derech Masa. There was no Eruv in the east side of Manhattan. And I had to take my watch off. And but in Eretz Yisrael, I mean, I'm here with an Eruv. I don't dream about taking my watch off. I remember the first time I davened in Lubavitch, the Rebbe has a minyan in a little bit of a private chamber. not on Shabbos, I'm talking during the week. So let's say it was Mincha time. And you know the Hasidim during Alkei Nekave, the Lubavitchers, have you ever seen it? When they get to the word Lehevel Vilarik, they spit. And I said to myself, no way the Rebbe's going to spit. But guess what? He spit. It was a beautiful spit. I mean, it was like, you know, perfectly aligned. But, you know, to me, as a Litvak, you know, I'm really not a Litvak. I'm my father was the seventh generation Lubavitch, so I'm eighth generation Lubavitch. So, but still, you know, I was brought up in Yeshiva University. I mean, people weren't going around spitting in the middle of Olenu, you know what I'm saying? So this was a little bit of a shock to me the first time I saw it. I was a young kid. Anyway, so let's start the Sugya Sagamar. So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to stand in Rishus HaYochid and be metaltal in Rishus HaRabim. Masni Lei. We have another alternative girsa, and that's Rabbi Chinina Bar Shlomya Lechia Bar Rav Kami Derav. Lo Yamad Odom Rishus HaYochid V'yataltal Rishus HaRabim. Just the opposite of our girsa. Our girsa has it omed adam b'rishus hayochid u'metalt b'rishus rabim, and now we have a girsa that's attributed to Rav, or at least was presented to Rav, and that is lo yamod adam b'rishus hayochid u'metalt b'rishus rabim. In other words, the gzeres chachom is that he may make a mistake, and once he's got this object in his hands, he's not going to be so sharp and realize that he's got to keep it out there. You know, his arm has to be outstretched in Rishus HaRabim. He may inadvertently carry it in, you know, bring back his arm into Rishus HaYochid. And Rabbi Chinina doesn't have the Mishnah the way we have it that was lenient about this case, that Omed on the Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid in this case, with Tal Rishus HaRabim. Amalei. So when this was presented to Chia Bar Rav, so Chia Bar Rav says to Rav Chinina, Shavkis Rabbanim V'Avdis Ki Rabbi Meir, are you leaving, or shall I say, are you ignoring the Shita the Chachamim, which again, because keep in mind that Chia Bar Rav has our gears in the Mishnah, and our girsa in the Mishnah says this is mutter, and it's a stam Mishnah. We should paskin like our Mishnah, but rather you want to present, or shall I say, prefer would be a better word. You want to prefer Rabbi Meir that there should be a gzera here. Now, where is this Rabbi Meir? This is a sugya later on in Erevin. On Daf Kuf Aleph. And it's Rav Meir who's quoted as saying that you're not allowed to stand in one Rishus and carry into another in another Rishus. And also Lamod B'Rishus HaYochid according to Rav Meir. V'litol Mafteach Munach B'Rishus HaRabim Liftof Odas Sel B'Rishus HaRabim. So imagine there are two closets, a Shida, a Tevo Migdal in Rishus HaRabim, and they're very close one to the other. There's a mafteach that's necessary to open up these locked doors. And the mafteach is within four amos of each of the doors. So even though both doors are in Rishus HaRabim, he's allowed, before Rabbi Meir, he would be allowed to pick up the key and carry it two amos to open up the door within Rishus HaRabim. Again, he's standing in Rishus HaYochid. Everybody agrees that in Rishus HaRabim, this is also. You're not allowed to carry something two amos in Rishus HaRabim if you're standing in Rishus HaRabim. But if you're standing in Rishus HaYochid, you want to carry something two amos in Rishus HaRabim, then if not for Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim themselves would allow it. And Rabbi Meir says it's us. Why? We're afraid that he might forget himself, and he may take the mafteach into his makom shomid bo, meaning into Rishus HaYochid, in effect, violating a malacha doraisa of achnosa, of taking something from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. So that's very fine and dandy. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. But the Rabbanan, apparently in our Mishnah, the Tanakama, did not accept Rabbi Meir. So why do you prefer to paskin lo yamod other rishus hayochid v'yitlenu b'rishus haram, like Rabbi Meir? Why are you accepting Rabbi Meir's chumra against the Tanakama of our Mishnah? Now, let me just quote to you the language of the Mishnah later on, Adaf Kuf Aleph. It says, Lo yamod other rishus harabim v'yiftach birshus harabim, or birshus harabim v'yiftach birshus hayochid, divrei Rabbi Meir, meaning he should not be standing in rishus hayochid, taking a mafteach in rishus harabim in order to open up a pesach in rishus harabim, and not the opposite as well. Even though, again, he's not violating the Isur of Havaras Chefetz Arba Amis B'Shus HaRabim, but we're afraid that he might take the Mavtech into his own Rishus, which in this case is a Rishus HaYochid. Now, it's very interesting. Our sugya of Chia Barav, would seem to undermine another sugya, and that is called Halacha Kirevi Meir B'Gzerosov. And we mentioned this Gemara, I think you were with me, I'm not sure, it was on Daf Mem Zayin. Halacha Kirevi Meir B'Gzerosov. And Chinina and Chia here is very upset. How could it be that Rav Chinina would paskin like Rabbi Meir against the Rabbanan? The answer is because in Rabbeir's Gzeros, we always pass him like Rabbeir, we always embrace his Gzeros. So there's a Tosus at the very beginning of Masechta Shabbos who very severely curtails and restricts this principle of Halacha Kirabbeir B'Gzerosov. And Tosus says that it's a general rule and it applies in many cases, but not in all cases. In our case, since there's a Stam Mishnah that we're learning here on Daf Tzadiches, that implies that Omei to Adam, you're allowed to stand in one Rishus and carry within another Rishus. Here, we're not going to paskin like Rav Meir B'Gzeirosa because we have a Stam Mishnah that permits it. Well, let's turn to Daf Tzadites. So the Gemara answers, who? Meaning, we're back to Chinino Bar Shlemi, Savar, Mida Seifa, Rabbi Meir, Reisha Nami, Rabbi Meir. Since we have the Seifa of our Mishnah, with regard to opening up a door with a key, and you have to transport the key to Amos, from one point in Shram to the other, in order to open up the other door, and Rabbi Meir prohibits it. You have a Mishnah like Rabbi Meir later on, then the Reisha of that Mishnah, which is printed here on Daf Tzadiches, is also meant to reflect the sheet of Rabbi Meir, and therefore we must change the language of the Mishnah to Lo Ya'amod, not to Omeid, the way we have it, but just the opposite, Lo Ya'amod, because we want to maintain the integrity of the Mishnah. The Mishnah at its very end quotes Rabbi Meir and insists on a gzera. The same identical gzera should apply in the Reisha in the case of Lo Yamod Adam B'Shus Achas V'Yitaltil B'Shus Acheres. And therefore, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara rejects V'lohi. Sefer Rabbi Meir Vereisha Rabbanon. I think what the Gemara is saying here is that two things. Number one, there's no need and no pressure to say that if the Sefer is Rabbi Meir, therefore the Reisha also has to be Rabbi Meir. But the Gemara might be going even a step further. Rabbi Meir is talking about a mafteach. So a person always wants to have access to his mafteach. And it's very plausible and probably statistically probable that he might want to take the mafteach and put it in his shirt or hide it somewhere where he'll be able to find it. I don't know about you guys, but I spend half my life looking for maftechos. And therefore, he wants to take the maftech back to where he is. The gzera is very pressing in the case of a maftech. But to make it a general universal gzera, that a person wants to put something from one point to another point, therefore he's going to take it back to himself, when his purpose and his goal is to put it down over there, that far Reb Meir didn't go. So the Gemara says that we can accept our Girsa despite the fact that Rabbi Meir in the Seifa of this very same Mishnah accepts the Gzera. Now that we go on to the Mishnah says a person is allowed to stand in Mishnah Sayyochim, Metaltush Saram, Bilvad Shalo Yotzi, Chutz Me'ar Ba'amos. So we're talking about a case of a person who's standing in Rishus HaYochid. For example, let's give the case that we had in the previous Mishnah of Omed al Agag. He's standing on a Gag, so he's definitely above 10 Tfachim. So there's a Rishus HaRabim on the bottom. And he's in a Rishus HaYochid, which is technically a Rishus HaYochid because it's Gavoa Asora, and we're assuming it also has the Rochav of Arba Amos. So in this case, it makes sense that it'll be Metaltel. He picks it up and takes it above 10 Tfachim. In other words, the object itself is sitting on the ground. But when he, on a high gag, is bending over to pick it up, he probably, let's assume, is going to lift it above 10 Tfachim. Now, Rishus HaRabim is only Ole Yud Tfachim. Above 10 Tfachim, he is now in a Makom Ptur. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Ubilvad Shelo Yotzi Chutz Me'arba Amos. What's going on over here? He's standing on a roof. He is relocating an object that's on the floor. But the Mishnah says, be very careful that since the floor, the ground is Rishus HaRabim, don't carry it for Amos. But isn't it logical to assume that even in the worst case scenario that he does carry it for Amos, he's carrying it, shall we say, chest high, which is above 10 Tfachim, he's on top of a roof. Right, the Gemara doesn't assume we're talking about a person who's standing on the ground of Rishus HaYochid, or he has a window in his house that goes all the way down. And therefore, even in the worst case scenario, and he would, heaven forbid, carry the object 4 hours and relocate it 4 hours further in Rishus HaRabim, he's going to do so derech makom ptur. So the Gemara immediately asks, Ha Hotzi, if he was careless, and he carried it Chutz Li'arba Amos, so the Akira was done at point X, the Hanacha at point Y, and the distance between X and Y was a full 4 Amos, Chayav Chatos. So again, when we learn the Mishnah, Omed Adam Rishus HaYochid Metal Rishus HaRabim, it means that he's standing on a gag. Again, there's no proof that he's standing on a gag, but it would, you know, the Mishnah generalized it, would assume to encompass all cases, even if he's standing on the gag of his house, and he lifts up his a chefetz above 10 tfachim, which is in a makom ptur, and then he carries it chutz li'arba amos yischayev chatos. Is the answer is because Mavir Rishusa Rabim Arba Amos is Chayev based on the Akira and the Anocha. If the Akira and the Anocha are separated by 4 Amos, he's Chayev. And we will not exempt him from the Chiv Chatos simply because he went through a Makom Ketur. Is Leib Misayel Leila Rava? This should support the opinion of Rava. The Yom Rava, this is in Shabbos Daf Ches. Hamaver Chayvitz Mitchilas Arbus Hof Arbe Viro Derech Olav Chayav. If a person carries 4 Amos in Rishus Arabim, even though it's Derech Olav literally means Al Gabe Rosho, it's on top of his head, so he goes like this, carrying it like this over his head, and puts it down 4 Amos later, he's Chayav Achatos, even though he went through a Mokum Tur Lamala Mi'asor, because Rishus Arabim has an airspace up to Asorah. But since the Akira and the Hanacha were separated by 4 Amos, we don't care what happened in the middle. If the object entered into a Makom Ptur, he's going to be Chayav. And that becomes clear from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says you better be careful that you don't carry it and relocate it 4 Amos later, even though he's standing on the Gag. And he's going to definitely take it at some point within, or shall I say above, 10 Tfachim, is clearly, we have a proof text for Rava. Tzmar rejects it. Kiktani, miktani, what does it say in the Mishnah? Im hotzi chayev chatos, those words don't appear in the Mishnah. It says, ubilvad shalo yotzi chutzi arba hamos dilma, Imhotzi Potravalosa. What the Mishnah is concerned about is a violation not of a Dorais and a Chiv Chatos, but rather of a Chiv Durabanan. Senachinami, right now we're going to reject Rava. And if you carry Dal Damas Bishsaram Derech Makom Ptur, you will in fact be Potur, not like Rava. I hear, why are we so nervous lest he carry it 4 full Amos? The answer is because if he carries it 4 full Amos, even though he carried it above 10 Tfachim, the Rabbanan prohibited it. Because the Rabbanan are always afraid that if you carry it above 10 Tfachim, tomorrow or next Shabbos you'll carry it below 10 Tfachim and you'll violate the Isur Mavir Dalet Amos Pishus Arabim. So we're talking about a situation here of Potter Aval Asur, which means that when the Mishnah warned us not to take the chafetz from Tchilas Arba to Sof Arba, the Mishnah wanted to make sure we wouldn't violate an Issa Derabbanan, because again, it's Derech Olav, and we're holding now against Rava, that Derech Makom Ptur, you're not going to be chayev in the case of Marvin Daladamas, but you will have violated an Issa Derabbanan, because if we allow you above 10 Tfachim, tomorrow, you're going to think it's mutter even below 10 tfach. That's the first Lishna in the Gemara. Now we get to the Lishna Basra. Ika Diamri, somehow have the Sugya somewhat differently. We're going to go back to the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ubilvad shelo yotzi chutzi arba amos ha-hotzi. The Mishnah doesn't tell us what would be if he actually carried it 4 Amos. And again, it's Derech Olav because he's standing on the roof and it's going above 10 Tfach Makom Ptur. Ha-hotzi potter aval asur. Is Levit Evit Yuvti the Rava, the Yom Rava Maver Chevitz Chilas Arbis Hof Arbis Viro Derech Olav Chayav. And the Gemara says, Miktani hotzi potter aval asur. Dilma im hotzi Chayav Chatos. So at the end of the day, we really do not have the ability to derive, to be medayik from our Mishnah, whether he be chayav achatos or potter aval osur, but he's potter from achatos, in a case where he carries the object 4 amos, and between the 4 amos of the Akira and the Anocha, he takes it derech ptur. The Mishnah says, "Lo yamino de bishus a yochid v'yishte v'yashtin bishus a ramim bishus a ramim v'yisht v'yashtin bishus a yochid v'chein lo yirok." So, what's the din in a case of shkaga? Amar Rav Yosef, if a person is standing bishus a yochid v'yishtin v'rok, and he spits or urinates into a Rishus HaRabim, Chayav Chatos. So the Gemara asks for Be'inan Akirav Anoch Me'agabi Mokum Dalet Al Dalet Tfachim. You need a Mokum Choshev for an Akirav Aleka. He wasn't Oker, his Meir Aglaim, or his Rogue from a place that's for Tfachim. And the Gemara answers Machshavto Mashvi Le'Mokum. So we're going to now learn a Sugya, which really belongs to Masechta Shabbos, called Mokum Choshev and Machshavto Mashvi Le'Mokum. In other words, he has to get his urine out of his body. He has to get his spit out of his body. The goof itself, where the urine or the saliva is stored, is a makom chashuv. That's where it has to be. I mean, and that's where he has to take it out of. I mean, the body produces saliva, the body produces urine, and it's in the body. And that is its place. That's its normal place. You can talk about, you know, a small, narrow area, and you're going to put a pencil on the top of a fire hydrant, that's not its normal place. You need a makom choshev anoch. But here, the gufo shel adam is your makom choshev. That's exactly where it is, and that's where it's supposed to be. And therefore, a hotzah from that makom choshev is considered a meleches hotzah. So this is fascinating. This is the sugya of Ma'asheve. We're going to learn about someone who considers a place chashuv for his purposes. You know, that's where he wants to feed his dog, so the mouth of his dog is less than 4 tvachim, but that's where he wants to get the food. So he was Ma'ashev, the pi ha-kelev, and it's a sugya in Shabbos Daf Kuh, as if it were a makom dalet al dalet. He wants to burn a document, so it shouldn't condemn him. So he throws it into a fire. The fire is not dalet al dalet. But achshavei can makom dalet al dalet. He makes it into a makom choshev. I don't know if you've heard about the latest issue in for Orthodox Jews in Mount Sinai Hospital. They Corona affects the smell and the taste. So there's a study going on now in Mount Sinai with recovered Corona patients. I honestly, I don't know what percentage of New York City fit that category. I have a feeling it's like 99%. I'm exaggerating, but anyway, in my family in America, they all had Corona. Every last one of them. Anyway, so there's a study going on. They're using fish oil, like a fish gel. And you have to take it twice a day for 6 weeks, and then they're going to see if it helps, you know, restore your function of taste and smell. So the Orthodox Jews are very good candidates, because unfortunately many Orthodox Jews are no longer smelling or tasting because they had Corona. You heard about this, by the way? No. If you're interested, I could show you some documentation on this. It's really fascinating. Rav Schechter got involved in this, Rav Willig, and they claim that we don't apply achshavei here in this case. You know, achshavei means that if, you know, you remember the old gelatin question from our childhood? Anybody old enough to admit that he remembers the issue about gelatin? Yeah, okay, so if you're old enough to admit that, so the gelatin issue was because they used a certain substance in making the gelatin. What was it called? Oh, it was called gelatin, actually, yeah. Well, in marshmallows, I meant to say marshmallows. So in marshmallows, they used gelatin. And the gelatin was made from, I think it was certain parts of animal bones or something like that. What was it made from, the gelatin? I don't remember. And now we have artificial gelatin. But the question is, achshavei, meaning, you know, it might objectively, you know, you wouldn't feed it to a dog. You know, they make it into a powder or whatever, but you eat it because it's part of your marshmallow, right? So the question is that called achshavei? You know, you have to be a bucky in your day for this to know how to paskin. I think it was Reb Chaim Ozer who was the big mekil, but somehow, I don't know, he got outnumbered. So I don't know if they ever really accepted his heter. But it could be that today, you know, for the sake of...
His heter was accepted everywhere but the states. The Devar and Kotler of Moshe were against it.
But outside of the United States, it was accepted. So here the Shalit came up with this Mount Sinai study, and I think they want to rely on, don't quote me on this, but I think they want to rely on the heter of Chaim Ozer that achshavei doesn't apply because he's taking it for another purpose, meaning he's not interested in enjoying the fish oil, and it's nifsal me'achilas kelev. He's taking it only as part of a health study, and he's hoping that he himself will regain his thing. Anyway, I'm just pointing out that this kind of achshavei svara really, it applies also to vitara. You can have a beged, which is normally not considered chashiv. It's less than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. But achshavei, he's a poor person. He wants to use it as a patch for his ripped jeans. You remember this? I mean, all these. I mean, the word achshavei is like one of those halachic universal principles that wherever you turn, you see achshavei. So de'ilo tema hachi ha'amar rava zarak b'pi ha'kelev o b'pi ha'kivshan chayev chatos. In the urination case or the spitting of the saliva, if you don't consider that part of the body as achshavei, and you would argue that there's no chiyuv chatas for spitting 4 amos, then what are you going to do with Rava's principle, where he throws something 4 amos in order to land in the mouth of the kelev or in the fire, and none of these have dalet al dalet, and yet Rava says he's chiyuv chatas. So before we get to Rava's Safek here, in the next piece of Gemara, we can summarize by saying that our Mishnah would definitely assume a Chiyuv Chatos in the case of urinating or in the case of spitting, and the reason for that is because of Achshavei, and that's Machshavei Mokom of Dalid al Dalid, so Machshavto Mashvile Mokom, and we see Machshavto Mashvile Mokom in the context of Rava when he throws an object 4 amos in Rishus Rabim in order to land in a fire or in the mouth of a kelev. By Rava, now we have a case of a person who's standing in Rishus HaRab and he's urinating in Rishus, he's standing in Rishus HaYok and urinating in Rishus HaRab. And the problem here is that even though his feet are firmly grounded in a Rishus HaYok, and therefore we're going to say that he's Chayav. Why? Because he's carrying the urine from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. What happens if the part of his body that, that's the organ that he needs for urinating is in Rishus HaRabim? In other words, he's standing in Rishus HaYochid, but, you know, he is, the Pi HaOmo, what's called, is in Rishus HaRabim. So, Boy Rava, who omed Rishus HaYochid, who mashed in Rishus HaRabim, Pi HaOmo Rishus HaRabim, mal. In other words, shall we consider this as our Mishnah, a chi of chatos and a melech of havaris dalad amis shesarabim. But you know, there's a logical reason to say here that this is not considered a. Just 1 second. Let me just get the mathematics again. If he's omei b'shesarabim, right? Forget about dalad amis. If I mention dalad amis, forget. What I'm saying is that we're talking about melech es hotzah. So he's standing in Rishus HaYochid in our Mishnah, and he urinates into Rishus HaRavim. That's called Hotzah, and he's Chayv HaChatas. But what happens in a case where although he is grounded in Rishus HaYochid, but the Pia Oma is Rishus HaRavim? Maybe in that case, that's not considered Hotzah, and it's not considered as if he took the urine from Rishus HaYochid and brought it out into Rishus HaRavim. Basar Akira Azlinon or Basar Yitzia Azlinon. So let's go backwards. If we say Basar Yitzia Azlinon, in other words, the Meleches Havara or Hotzah, what he's carrying and relocating, starts with the Yitzia of the Meira Glaimi Gufo. So the Yitzia Meira Glaimi Gufo is Mipia Oma. And Mipia Oma is Rishus HaRabim. So both the Akira and Anocha were in Rishus HaRabim, and therefore be Potur. Or shall we say no? Basar Akira is Linon. Where does the urine come from? You know, it's in his bladder, which is in Rishus HaYochid, where he's standing. And therefore he's taking the urine, and he's carrying it virtually from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and therefore he's Chayev. Teku. And the Gemara comes to no conclusion. So the Mishnah Brura wants to know, la'alocha, how should we paskin in this kind of a teku? And he first starts by quoting the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel for Shabbos writes, Oya omei b'shus zu, upi ha'oma b'shus shniya v'hishtin ba potu. So the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos that whenever I say potu, means potu aval asur, means it's asur min rabbanon. The Shulchan Aruch codifies this in Hilchos Shabbos and therefore concludes that if you're standing in one Rishus, even if the Pia Oma is in another Rishus, you're not allowed to be mashtin. Why? Because that's a potavel osa situation. So in other words, the Meirag Liam is nekar mimashahu hakovea, meaning the Gufa Adam. And since his Gufa Adam is in a different Rishus, therefore he's not allowed to do it. So if that be the case, then when it's Pia Oma Rishus Shnia, he would be Chayav. Why? Because if you're going to consider the Akira, the Meira Glayim, Mimenu, so then what's Mimenu? And if you go back to HaGemara, the Gemara says, Basar Akira Azlinon or Basar Yitzia Azlinon. Yitzia Azlinon means the Akira from the Guf, which means that he would be Potter. So from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins based on the Rambam Potter Aval Asur, it would seem that on a Doraisa level, we are looking at the Pia Oma, meaning Basa Yitzia Azlina, Yitzia Mea Guf. And now we get to Rok. What would happen in a similar case of Rok? So the Mishnah Brura says that in the case of Rok, it's different. We're not dealing with the Darabona, we're dealing with the Doraisa. In Rok, we're always going to look at the Makam HaGuf. And that's where the Rok is being Nekar from. As I state Mishnah Brura, again, I didn't write the text, so don't blame me for this. But the Mishnah Brura wants to say that in the case of Mashtin and the Pia Omas and Rishus HaRabim, on a Doraisa level, we're going to say he's Potur because we're going to say that Azlina Basa Gufo, which means Basa Yitzio Mi Gufo, that means since the Pia Om is in Rishus HaRabim, he's being Oker from Rishus HaRabim and Miniach in Rishus HaRabim, and therefore he's Potur Aval Asur. So we could say that there's such a thing as an extension of his Guf, And that's the Pia Ova, because that's where the Akira of the Meraglayim comes from. And that's a Kula, and it reduces it down to a Malacha D'Rabbana Potter Alasa. But not so, says the Mishnah Berurah, in the case of Roke. Roke is inside your mouth, and your mouth is located where you're located, where your feet are. See, I was wondering, what would be, according to Mishnah Berurah, if he stuck out his head into Rosh Hashanah? In such a way that his, the salivary glands are in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, but the spit itself in his mouth is already into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. For some reason, the Mishnah Berurah assumes L'chumra, that we're going to go Basa the Akira, where we're not going to look, Akira I mean to say, in the Gemara's language, we're going to look at the Akira of the Makom Kavua from which the saliva exits. In other words, we're going to go back to the, how should I say, the house of the saliva. That's not a good word, but you know, the place, the origin of the saliva. We go back to its origin. And therefore, according to Mishnah Berurah, if we go back to the origin, he's standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, then when he spits into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's a full-fledged Akira Rosh Hashanah Shus. It's Otsah Rosh Hashanah Shus. Because the Akiras HaRok is Mimokom Shenimtza Begufo, and not in the Mokom Shenimtza Bepiv. Whereas in the case of Pia Oma, we're going to paskin that the Akira is from the Pia Oma. The Mishnah says, V'chein lo yorok, he shouldn't spit from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer is af misha nitlash, roko befiv, even when the roke is now collected in his mouth, is lo yahalich arba amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He cannot carry it for Amos. So the Gemara now has an analysis of Rabbi Yehuda. In what case does Rabbi Yehuda hold that the roke that's in his mouth is no longer part of his goof? It's a separate entity, and he's carrying it with his goof. So the goof is carrying the roke. So the Gemara says, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that immediately after the roke leaves its makom, its origin, and it is gathered into his mouth, then it's considered like he's carrying it? Afa gavdalo hafich be? In other words, the Gemara seems to postulate that there are two different ways in which the saliva gets projected out of the body. One is Shalo hafach es harok befiv. Somehow the roke naturally, after it accumulates, it ends up in his mouth. And the other, excuse me, is when he actively does an action to remove the, so to speak, to remove the roke from its original place in the salivary glands, and he gives it a push. It seems from Rabbi Yehuda that he didn't qualify his statement, and it includes all situations of nitlash roko shel adam befanav, even in the case of lo hafech be. Vasnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Kalim, with regard to roke in someone's mouth, does it have a toras mashke, such that now if it comes in contact with other peros, it is mashke the other peros of kabel tumah. He was eating a dried fig, and the dried fig had the status of truma biyadayim miso avos. In other words, since he didn't wash his hands, the rabbanan assume that his hands have the status of shnios larayos. This is sugi at the end of the first perek of Masechta Shabbos. V'hichnis yado l'toch piv. So the truma became truma tmeah. Why? Because it came in contact directly with his hands. And now he takes his hands, which now have the status of a shnia l'tuma, because the Chachamim gave the status of his hands without netil yadayim shnia l'tuma. And now he takes his hands, which are shnia l'tuma, l'toch piv. And why did he do so? Because litol tzrar, so he has some sort of a piece of something. A tzrar is a small pebble, but anyway, he got something stuck in his mouth, so he puts his hands into his mouth. And now he touches a dvela of truma tahora. These figs are truma tahora. And you and I would say that in this case, certainly the truma would be psula, because the Chacham made a gzera that one's hands are shnios l'tuma, and the metamas is a truma. So what difference does it make whether he puts his hands into his mouth or he doesn't put his hands into his mouth? His hands have the status of shnios l'tuma. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says, metame, when he lifts up the dvela, then he's metame the dvela. Why? Because the roke that he has inside his mouth while he chews up, that's going to be a machshir l'tuma. It's one of the seven mashkim. And therefore, the dvela, when it comes in contact with his roke in his mouth, will certainly be mekabel tuma. And he's got wet dvela, wet tainim, and he puts his hand into his mouth. His hand has the status of shnios l'tuma. The dvela itself was moistened by his roke, so therefore it was mukshel l'kabel tuma, and therefore there's no reason under the sun, says Rebbeir, why the dvela should not contract tuma. And yet, to our surprise, Rabbi Yossi Mataya. Rabbi Yossi says that since he never spit out the roke from his mouth, and now he puts the dvela into his mouth, this roke does not have the status of a mashke. And therefore it's not mashke the dvela to be makabel tuma. And Rabbi Yehuda comes up with a compromise shita. It all depends. Hipech ba tamei, lo hipech ba tar. Now again, it's very important that we keep in mind that the one who came up with this middle of the road shita, which we'll try to explain in the Mishnah in Kalim, was none other than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is also the author of our Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, without qualifying it, assumed that any roke in your mouth has the status of masa, which means you carry it in Rishus Rab. It's no longer part of the guf. And yet Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah in Kalim says it all depends. Hipech ba, if he did an action in order to get the roke out of its resting place, we'll call it, and he spit it out into his mouth, that's considered a mashke. It's no longer part of his body. It separates itself as a separate entity, and therefore tome. Therefore, it is a machshir, a mashke, which is mashke the dvela kabotum, but lo afach ba, if he has some sort of an accumulation of saliva in his mouth, but he did nothing to be motzi, to take this saliva out of its resting place, its origin, then tar, the roke, is not considered a mashke. It's not mashke the dvela kabotum. We see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that only roke ha nekar mimkomo, when he actually puts that effort into getting the roke out, only that's considered a mashke. But if it's roke shenekar mimkomo without his action, that's not considered a mashke. It's still part of his body. Our Mishnah seems to assume, in Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah assumes that all roke is considered outside, separate from his body, such that he's now carrying the roke. And it matters not whether it was hafach ba or lo hafach ba. Om Rabbi Yochanan muchlefes hashita. Rabbi Yochanan says you're going to have to change the names around. And it means that Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, should now be interpreted in light of the of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah in Kelim, meaning that it's only if Havach Ba, then it becomes Rok, and only in those situations that it's a Mashke L'Kabel Tuma, La'achshe L'Kabel Tuma, so too, he's not allowed to carry it in his mouth. That's only because it was Havach Ba. Reish Lakish Amar L'Lolam Lo Tachliv, V'Hacha Mayaskinan. What is that Mishnah talking about? B'Kicho. So Kicho is a kind of a lecha that was nitlisha migufa, a kind of a phlegm that shows up in his mouth, maybe because he has a bad cold or some sort of other virus. And even if lo hipech ba, it always considered separate from the body. So you could be mechalik between recho, roko and kicho. And the Gemara raises an objection to Reish Lakish, and with this we'll finish up. Vasanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kicho v'nitlash. In the case of Kicho, is he allowed to walk Dalet Amos with Kicho in his mouth? Or does he have to immediately spit it out? My lav rok v'nitlash. It seems that when it says Kicho v'nitlash, he's not talking about two different things, but he's talking about a case where he finds in his mouth Kicho or Rok v'nesa pipiv. He shouldn't walk Dalet Amos. So even in Rok, Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't need Hefuch Ba, but it's similar and it has the same halacha of Kicho. So my answer is lo. That's not how you read the Braisa. The Braisa is not talking about two different things. Number one, Kicho. Number two, Roko. But rather, Kicho v'nitlash. You have to add... Well, actually, you don't even have to add the Vav. You have to reinterpret the Vav. That the Vav is telling you, when are you not allowed to walk Dalet Amos b'shus Rabin, even though he didn't do anything, there was no Hepuch Bo. That's only in the case of Kicho v'nitlash. But as far as Roko is concerned, Eina Chinami, we've already decided based on Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah in Kelim that you need Hipach Ba. So Gemara is not happy with this. V'hotanya Rav Yehuda Omer Kicho Shenitlash. We have another Braisa. V'chein Roko Shenitlash. Lo Yahalech Arba Amos Ad Sheyorok. And that's going to reject Reish Lakish, Ela Machvata, Kiddush Anina Meikar. We're going to have to go back to Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to have to assume that although Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah seem to assume that any Rok that was Nitlash, even without Hefuch Ba, is considered separate from the body and it's subject to Masa, and he's chayav for carrying it for Amos. Nay, we're going to say that the Braisa, or shall we say the Mishnah in Kalim, is now going to shed a new light on Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Kalim is going to tell us that we have to reinterpret Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah such that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a case of Hafach Bo V'nitlash, only when he actively expels the saliva from wherever it has to come to into his mouth, only then does it become a mashke, and it's makshe l'kabel tuma, and only then is it considered a masa, for which he'd be chayev on Shabbos. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. We almost got up to the end of the sugya, but we got pretty much to the end of the sugya. Amar Reish Lakish, Adaf Tzadi Tes, Amen Aleph. And we're about, I would say, would it make sense to call it two-thirds of the way down? And that's where we're going to end for today.